And today our text is Ruth chapter 3 and a good portion of chapter 4. Ruth chapter 3 and most of chapter 4. So let us give careful attention now as we hear the reading of God's very word. Ruth, beginning in chapter 3, verse 1. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, should I not seek rest for you that it may be well with you? Is not Boaz our relative with whose young women you were? See, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Wash therefore and anoint yourself and put on your cloak and go down to the threshing floor, but do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. But when he lies down, observe the place where he lies, and then go and uncover his feet and lie down, and he will tell you what to do." And she replied, "All that you say I will do." So she went down to the threshing floor and did just as her mother-in-law had commanded her. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain. And then she came softly and uncovered his feet and lay down. At midnight, the man was startled and turned over, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. He said, "Who are you?" And she answered, "I'm Ruth, your servant. Spread your wings over your servant, for you are a redeemer." And he said, "May you be blessed by the Lord, my daughter. You have made this last kindness greater than the first, in that you have not gone after young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you ask, for all my fellow townsmen know that you are a worthy woman. And now it is true that I am a redeemer, yet there is a redeemer nearer than I. Remain tonight, and in the morning, if he will redeem you, good, let him do it. But if he is not willing to redeem you, then, as the Lord lives, I will redeem you. Lie down until the morning." So she lay at his feet until the morning, but arose before one could recognize another. And he said, "Let it not be known that the woman came to the threshing floor." And he said, "Bring the garment you are wearing and hold it out." So she held it out, and he measured out 6 measures of barley and put it on her, and then she went into the city. And when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, "How did you fare, my daughter?" And then she told her all that the man had done for her, saying, "These 6 measures of barley he gave to me, for he said to me, 'You must not go back empty-handed to your mother-in-law.'" She replied, "Wait, my daughter, until you learn how the matter turns out, for the man will not rest, but will settle the matter today." Now Boaz had gone up to the gate and sat down there, and behold, the Redeemer of whom Boaz had spoken came by. So Boaz said, "Turn aside, friend, sit down here." He turned aside and sat down. And he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, "Sit down here." So they sat down. And then he said to the Redeemer, "Naomi, who has come back from the country of Moab, is selling the parcel of land that belonged to our relative Elimelech. So I thought I would tell you of it and say, buy it in the presence of those sitting here and in the presence of the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, redeem it. But if you will not, tell me that I may know, for there is no one besides you to redeem it, and I come after you." He said, "I will redeem it." Then Boaz said, "The day you buy the field from the hand of Naomi, you also acquire Ruth the Moabite, the widow of the dead, in order to perpetuate the name of the dead in his inheritance." And then the Redeemer said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I impair my own inheritance. Take my right of redemption yourself, for I cannot redeem it. Now this was the custom in former times in Israel concerning redeeming and exchanging. To confirm a transaction, the one drew off his sandal and gave it to the other, and this was the manner of attesting in Israel. So when the Redeemer said to Boaz, "Buy it for yourself," he drew off his sandal. And then Boaz said to the elders and all the people, "You are witnesses this day that I have bought from the hand of Naomi all that belonged to Elimelech and all that belonged to Chilion and to Malon. Also Ruth the Moabite, the widow of Malon, I have bought to be my wife, to perpetuate the name of the dead in his inheritance, that the name of the dead may not be cut off from among his brothers and from the gate of his native place. You are witnesses this day." We'll stop there with the reading of God's word. I'm going to ask Elder Steve French, please, to lead us in prayer.
Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, for this historical account, this picture of the kinsman redeemer, a picture of you, O Lord, our redeemer. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for redeeming us, for saving us out of darkness into your marvelous light. And we recognize, Lord, that even in Christ, you are still sinful, Lord. We still have unbelief. We still have faith. Thank you for the picture of faith here in this book. We pray, Lord, that you would sanctify us through the preaching of your word now, that you would increase our faith, that you would help our unbelief, Lord, that you would sanctify us and conform us more and more into your image. Help us, Lord, to sit attentively at your feet as we hear your word preached. And Lord, we pray that you would stir in our hearts to offer up a sacrifice of praise here this morning as we worship you in Christ's name.
Amen. Well, last Lord's Day, we left Ruth gleaning in the fields of Boaz all during the barley harvest. Boaz has shown great kindness to Ruth. He has testified of his godliness, and he's testified of her godliness. He has made a point to instruct all those that worked for him to protect and care for this godly young woman who had shown such kindness to Naomi, who had turned her back on her own people, her own gods, and had taken shelter under the wings of the Almighty God of heaven and earth, and had come back not expecting an easy life. As a matter of fact, Naomi, you remember, was so full of unbelief and bitterness that she pled with her daughters-in-law. And Orpah, one of her daughter-in-law, she did heed that advice and turned back to her own people and to her pagan gods to languish in the land of unbelief. But Ruth, the Lord had touched her heart. And she said, "Well, I'm going to go with you. Even though I am a Moabite, even though I am going to be viewed as an outcast and an outsider, yet I realize that my hope and my life is bound up with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so I'm going to stick with you. Nothing can separate us but death itself." And so when Naomi saw that she would not be dissuaded, she said, "Okay, well, come on." When they get back to the village, remember the ladies that Naomi had grown up with, they look and they take a second take and they say, "Oh, is this Naomi?" And Naomi in Hebrew means pleasant one, pleasant. And she says, "Don't call me by that name anymore. That's no longer my name. I've got a new name. My new name is Mara," which in Hebrew means bitter. She says, "The Lord has dealt bitterly with me. I left here full, and I've come back empty. Don't call me Naomi." Well, the ladies, the next thing we see is they're hungry. And so Ruth says, I'm going to go glean. I'm going to go see if I can find some food for us to eat. And the scriptures in chapter 2 says, and it happened that Ruth began to glean in the field of a man by the name of Boaz. And here we see the Lord's mighty hand showing his kindness. Up until this point, things don't look like anything is going well. Where is God? Where is the hand of God? Where is His kindness? And Naomi has just lost heart. Her husband has died. Her sons have died. And she's lost sight of God's goodness and His greatness because of her momentary sorrow and heartache. But Ruth, what an amazing heart that God gives this woman of faith. And so she's there gleaning in the field, and Boaz says, well, who is this lady? And you remember all that we saw. Well, at the end of the barley harvest, she comes home, and we read here in chapter 3, the revived hope and plan of action proposed by Naomi. Naomi no longer is full of despair and darkness and gloom. She is no longer a spiritual Eeyore. You remember Eeyore in Winnie the Pooh? Eeyore is the donkey. And, you know, he's the one that no matter what's going on, it's, oh, well, you mean we have to eat birthday cake? It'll probably make me sick. Oh, well. Well, Naomi is no longer a spiritual Eeyore. God has revived her heart to have hope in the Christ. And so she says, you know, my daughter, I've been thinking. And here's what you ought to do. So let's pick it up in verse 1. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, my daughter, should I not seek rest for you, that it may be well with you? She says, you know, I have your best interests at heart, honey. Is not Boaz our relative? With whose young women you were. See, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Wash, therefore, and anoint yourself. Now, in our lingo, the way we would put that is, honey, I want you to get all prettied up because I have something I want you to do. I want you to go, and I want you to propose to Boaz tonight. A little unusual, yes, but we'll get to that here in a moment. Wash yourself, therefore, and anoint yourself, and put on your cloak, and go down to the threshing floor, but do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. But when he lies down, observe the place where he lies, and then go and uncover his feet and lie down, and he will tell you what to do. And she replied, all that you say, I will do. And so Ruth gets all prettied up. And we see what unfolds now. Verse 6. So she went down to the threshing floor and did just as her mother-in-law had commanded her. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain. And then she came softly and uncovered his feet and lay down. See, Jeanette Oak didn't have a corner on coming softly. Here we have Ruth coming softly. She doesn't make a lot of noise. And she lies down at the feet of Boaz. She pulls his cloak back and lies down. And about midnight, he wakes up and he goes, wow, you know, my feet are warm. And he realizes there is a woman lying at his feet. Not the thing that he has ever experienced in his life. Verse 8, at midnight the man was startled and turned over, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. He said, "Who are you?" And she answered, "I am Ruth, your servant. Spread your wings over your servant, for you are a redeemer." Now, before we go on to see what happens, what is this business about in verse 2? Is not Boaz our relative? And now here, for you are a redeemer. And I want us to go back and look at two chapters, one in the book of Leviticus and one in the book of Deuteronomy, that gives us a little bit of backdrop about what we're going to read about, because it seems kind of strange at first glance. In Leviticus chapter 25, the Lord revealed to his people that every 7 years there was to be a year called the Sabbath year. Not only in addition to the creation Sabbath, which is every week, but that there was to be a series of Sabbath years every seventh year. If people had gotten into financial trouble, they would sell their land, and if they were in desperate condition, sell their own labor to somebody of their own tribe in the land of Israel. And at the end of that period of time, then they would be set free. The debt would be paid. There was also a jubilee, which was 7 times 7. And this jubilee was the time where the priest, on the 50th year, on the Day of Atonement, the day when the sacrifice would be made, the priest would blow a trumpet and proclaim liberty throughout all the land. And if you ever go to Philadelphia, there's a big bell called the Liberty Bell. And it has this scripture verse inscribed on the Liberty Bell. In Leviticus chapter 25, in verse 10, "And you shall consecrate the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout the land to all its inhabitants." And you can still see that bell. You can't touch it anymore, but you can see it. It's behind a big glass case. When I was younger, you could even touch it, and it was a thrill. But here was this concept of, because of the work of the Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, he is the one who comes to proclaim liberty, to set captives free. Turn with me to the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke in the New Testament, Luke chapter 4. And here we have Jesus picking up the scroll of the book of Isaiah in the synagogue, as was his custom. Every Sabbath day, Jesus went to worship. And on this particular day, when he comes to the synagogue, he picks up the scroll of the book of Isaiah. And here's what we read in Luke chapter 4, verse 16. "He came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it is written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor.'" And he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." And so here we see now the fulfillment of this Jubilee principle, that Jesus is the one who in the fullness of time comes to set those who were in bondage, who were captives, who were slaves. He comes to set them free. Well, that's one of the passages that you need to have in the back of your mind as we really dig in and look now at this thrilling event recorded for us here in the book of Ruth. The other passage that is helpful for us to really appreciate what's going on in Ruth is found over in Deuteronomy. Now, there's one more thing I want to mention. Look back in Leviticus 25, and we'll start reading in verse 35, Deuteronomy 25, verse 35. If your brother becomes poor and cannot maintain himself with you, you shall support him as though he were a stranger and a sojourner, and he shall live with you. Take no interest from him or profit, but fear your God that your brother may live beside you. You shall not lend him your money at interest, nor give him your food for profit. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt to give you the land of Canaan and to be your God. Now the Lord told his people that they could lend money for business purposes. They could lend money to foreigners, but they could not, if somebody was destitute, like Naomi, they could not take advantage of her situation and charge interest. Let's keep reading. Verse 39, if your brother becomes poor beside you and sells himself to you. And so here is a step even worse of debt. You shall not make him serve as a slave. He shall be with you as a hired worker and as a sojourner. He shall serve with you until the year of Jubilee. Then he shall go out from you, he and his children with him, and go back to his own clan and return to the possession of his fathers. For they are my servants, whom I brought out of the land of Egypt. They shall not be sold as slaves. You shall not rule over him ruthlessly, but shall fear your God. All right, now Deuteronomy chapter 25. There was another law, and as Elder Steve French prayed, the Lord Jesus, he is the Redeemer kinsman. Now, what's that all about? Well, it's another aspect of this same thing of people being in a position where they had lost everything. And in Deuteronomy chapter 25, in verse 5 and following, we read, if brothers dwell together and one of them dies and has no son, the wife of the dead man shall not be married outside the family to a stranger. Her husband's brother shall go into her and take her as his wife and perform the duty of a husband's brother to her. And the first son whom she bears shall succeed to the name of his dead brother, that his name may not be blotted out of Israel. And if the man does not wish to take his brother's wife, then his brother's wife shall go up to the gate to the elders and say, my husband's brother refuses to perpetuate his brother's name in Israel. He will not perform the duty of a husband's brother to me. Then the elders of his city shall call him and speak to him, and if he persists, saying, I do not wish to take her, then his brother's wife shall go up to him in the presence of the elders and pull his sandal off his foot and spit in his face. And she shall answer and say, so shall it be done to the man who does not build up his brother's house. And the name of his house shall be called in Israel, the house of him who had his sandal pulled off. And so here again, seems kind of strange to us, but God made a provision until Christ would come that the tribes of Israel would be able to maintain their lineage until the Lord Jesus would appear. That all of these tribes of Israel would maintain that line of descendants until Messiah would come. And so one of the mechanisms that God had provided was this Redeemer kinsman, where if you married a woman and you died and you had no son, then the family name, and there would be no one to pass the not only the name but the land onto. And so that land then would fall into the hands of some other tribe, and the name would cease. And so the Lord made provision that both of those aspects would be cared for, and said, therefore, a brother of this widow ought to be willing to take her as his wife, and the first son that they would have would be the son designated as the heir to carry on the dead brother's family name and inherit his land, and then the other male heirs would carry on his own name. And so we've already seen reference to this when Ruth is being urged by Naomi, go on back. She says, honey, I'm an old lady. I'm not going to be able to have any more sons. And even if I could, by the time a son that I would have grew up to be old enough to marry you, you'd be too old to have children. You couldn't wait if you wanted to perpetuate the name. So there's no hope for you. There's no hope for me. You'd be better off to go back to your pagan gods. You remember that was what she had said. Well, now turn with me, and here's what we see. Ruth, she says to Boaz that night at the barley threshing floor in verse 9. He said, who are you? And she said, I'm Ruth, your servant. Spread your wings over your servant, for you are a redeemer. He was a relative. He was in line. And Ruth says, would you be the relative who would purchase our land to keep it in the family name? Would you be willing to marry me so that the name would not die out of Israel? And so in verse 10, here's what Boaz responds. He said, may you be blessed by the Lord, my daughter. You have made this last kindness greater than the first, in that you have not gone after young men, whether poor or rich. You remember we saw that Boaz was an older man, and evidently Boaz had never married. Or if he did, he did not. His wife wasn't living. He didn't have an heir, and he's excited. He says, "This question you've asked, will I be your redeemer?" He says, first of all, he says, "I am very impressed with you. Blessed." May you be blessed by the Lord, my daughter. He says, you have made this last kindness greater than the first. And what was the first kindness? Well, it was Ruth's testimony of not deserting Naomi, but coming back to be a part of Israel. And he says, now this last kindness, the first kindness, you showed honor to this family that was destitute. But now this last kindness, you have asked me if I would be the redeemer kinsman. And you could have gone after younger men, whether they're poor or rich. But here you have asked me. And Boaz expresses how thrilled he is. He says, verse 11, and now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you ask, for all my fellow townsmen know that you are a worthy woman. Here we see the testimony of this godly man. He says, I would be honored to be your redeemer kinsman. But then, notice what he says. Verse 12. And now it is true that I am a redeemer, yet there is a redeemer nearer than I. He said, now I am a relative, but he said, there is a redeemer who is closer kin than I am. And he has the first opportunity to purchase the land and to be a redeemer to marry you. And so he said, remain tonight, verse 13, and in the morning, if he will redeem you, good, let him do it. But if he is not willing to redeem you, then as the Lord lives, I will redeem you. Lie down until the morning. And so Boaz, here we see his response. This godly man, he's thrilled. Why had he not taken initiative? Well, perhaps it was because he was so much older than Ruth. Maybe even had thought about it, but just said, no. There's no way that'll ever happen. At the first indication that Ruth is interested in him being her redeemer kinsman, and she makes it very plain that would be very pleasing in her sight. She's seen his godly character. She's seen how he has treated his workers. He has seen his kindness to her. And so she's very happy to pursue seeing whether this man would be her redeemer kinsman. And Boaz is delighted. He says, yes, ma'am, I would love to propose marriage to you. But before I can do so, we have to see if this man who's a little closer kin than I am would be willing to do so. And if he is, very good. In the Lord's providence, that will settle the matter. But if not, as the Lord lives, I will redeem you. And so, in verse 14, so she lay down at his feet until the morning. It doesn't say she slept. Perhaps she did. But she lay down until morning, but arose before one could recognize another. And he said, let it not be known that the woman came to the threshing floor. He said, it wouldn't be proper for, you know, word to get out that you've come to the threshing floor. So don't say anything about that. And he said, bring the garment you are wearing and hold it out. So she held it, and he measured out 6 measures of barley and put it on her. And then she went into the city. And when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, how did you fare, my daughter? And then she told her all that the man had done for her, saying, these 6 measures of barley he gave to me, for he said, you must not go back empty-handed to your mother-in-law. And she replied, this is Naomi, wait, my daughter, until you learn how the matter turns out, for the man will not rest, but will settle the matter today. And so you can just sense now, Naomi's heart is revived. She says, Well, I rejoice how this went. You can rest assured, Ruth, that before the sun goes down tonight, you're going to know who your new husband is going to be. Well, verse 1, now Boaz had gone up to the gate. And the gate, whenever you read about the gate in the Bible, it's like town hall, city hall, the courthouse. The gate of the city was where the judges sat. The gate of the city is where the elders would meet and make decisions. And so Boaz had gone up to the gate. He sat down there, and behold, the Redeemer of whom Boaz had spoken came by. And so he's coming into the city. And Boaz said, "Turn aside, friend, sit down here." And so I'm sure this guy was wondering what's up. So he comes, sits down, and he turned aside and sat down, verse 2, and he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, "Sit down here." Now this other relative, he knows something's up at this point. For 10 elders of the city to come and sit as witnesses, as official officers of the civil government. So they sat down, and then he said to the Redeemer, "Naomi, who has come back from the country of Moab, is selling the parcel of land that belonged to our relative Elimelech." You remember Leviticus 25, if you become destitute and you find yourself, the only resource you've got to be able to live is to sell the land. And so that's what Naomi now is in the process of doing. And Boaz says, "She's selling the land that belonged to our relative Elimelech, so I thought I would tell you of it and say, buy it in the presence of those sitting here and in the presence of the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, redeem it, but if you will not, tell me that I may know, for there is no one besides you to redeem it, and I come after you." And he said, "Oh, I will redeem it." He immediately thinks, "Oh man, yeah, that's a nice piece of farmland. I could use that. That'd be good. I could really reap some profit off of this piece of farmland. Yeah, I'll redeem it." Then Boaz said, "Well, now there is one other little thing. The day that you buy the field from the hand of Naomi, you also acquire Ruth the Moabite, the widow of the dead, in order to perpetuate the name of the dead in his inheritance." And you can see how having read Leviticus 25 and Deuteronomy 25 is helpful to see what's going on here. And so Boaz says to this near relative, he says, Now, there is one other thing you need to know before we seal the deal here about you buying Naomi's parcel of land, Elimelech's land. It also includes Ruth the Moabite. You will need to take her as your wife to raise up a male heir, if the Lord would be so kind. And so immediately this near relative in verse 6, then the Redeemer said, "I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I impair my own inheritance. Take my right of redemption yourself, for I cannot redeem it." And we don't know what all was going on, why he did not do so. Perhaps he was already married, or perhaps he just said, "No, thank you." But whatever the reason, he refuses to be the kinsman redeemer. And so in verse 7, now this was the custom in former times in Israel concerning redeeming and exchanging. To confirm a transaction, the one drew off his sandal and gave it to the other. And this was the manner of attesting in Israel. So when the Redeemer said to Boaz, "Buy it for yourself," he drew off his sandal. And then Boaz said to the elders and all the people, "You are witnesses this day that I have bought from the hand of Naomi all that belonged to Elimelech and all that belonged to Chilion and Malhon, Also Ruth the Moabite, the widow of Malchon, I have bought to be my wife, to perpetuate the name of the dead in his inheritance, that the name of the dead may not be cut off from among his brothers and from the gate of his native place. You are witnesses this day. And so that's how Ruth and Boaz end up getting married. What an incredible display of the Lord's sovereign directing and ordering things. What an amazing display of the Lord's mercy and kindness and love. And as we're going to stop there, but next week we're going to read the final verses in the book of Ruth. And what we're going to see is that this Redeemer kinsman, the Lord blesses Boaz and Ruth, and they have a child, a son. They named him Obed, and he was the father of Jesse, who was the father of David, who is one of the direct ancestors of the Lord Jesus Christ. Naomi is no longer destitute. The name of her family has not perished. And I want you to just think about, why do you and I have a future? Why do we have good things to look forward to? It's because a Redeemer kinsman has come to rescue us. And his name is Jesus. What a glorious Savior we have. How kind the Lord is. Oh, it thrills our heart to think that even though to human eyes many times things look absolutely hopeless, just like Naomi, she thought, there's no hope for me. But the Lord raised up a Redeemer kinsman for her. And what a wonderful picture that is. Of in the fullness of time, God raising up His own Son to rescue us so that we would not be cut off. So that we would be a part of a family. God's own family. Adopted into His family. Loved and cared for by our gracious Heavenly Father. So, when you think about the Lord Jesus Christ, He is the Redeemer kinsman. He's the Redeemer kinsman. He's the one who's come to us. We were destitute spiritually. We have no hope. We have no future left to ourselves. But what? Hell. Think about it. Left to ourselves. That's all I would have to look forward to and a taste of it in this life. But praise God. We have a God who has sent His Son to be the Redeemer kinsman. And He gave Himself for us, paid His own life to buy us so that we would not just be forgiven but adopted into God's family. Do you love that Redeemer? Is He your Redeemer kinsman? And if He is, may the Lord revive our hearts and may we learn from Naomi and Ruth and Boaz that even though at times things might seem to be very, very bleak, things from a human perspective, we might be tempted to think, well, there's no hope for me. You might as well change my name tomorrow. We've all been there. We've all been there where we're tempted to be discouraged and despairing and weary and tired. And sometimes we feel like giving up. Oh, may the Lord come by His Spirit and remind us from this precious little book of Ruth that there is a hope and a future for God's people in Jesus. No other place. There's a hope and a future for your family in Jesus, the Redeemer kinsman. There's a hope and a future for this congregation, for this community, for this nation, the other nations of the world, if we trust in Jesus. If we are repenting of our sins and believing in Him. That's the message of the book of Ruth. The Redeemer kinsman. Oh, what a glorious Savior. Let's pray. Father, we ask that you would forgive us for the many times that we have been like Naomi. And Lord, we thank you for the testimony of Ruth and Boaz. And Lord, how you revived Naomi's heart in this book to trust in you, Lord Jesus. Lord, to see that you are a good God and that you are at work. Lord, help us to rest in that even before we see with these eyes. Lord, please build us up in the Lord Jesus. Lord, if there be anybody here who does not know you, Lord Jesus, impress upon them that they need a Redeemer, that they have no future. They have nothing to look forward to apart from you, the Redeemer, apart from being reconciled to you, the living God, their Creator, the Judge of all the earth. Lord, draw men and women and boys and girls to repent and embrace you. Hear our cry now, Lord, and bless as we continue to worship you, the one true living God, through Jesus our Lord, we pray. Amen.